The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome to The Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 20th of March. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous, Martin White.
Good afternoon, Paul.
How are you?
Good afternoon, listener.
Be all right.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, was that a slightly slurred introduction from you?
A little bit, and you're a bit echoey. Might need to move a bit closer. About that.
Is that a little bit better?
A little bit,
it's
yeah.
It's echoey, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit echoey, isn't it? I don't know what all that's about.
Well, maybe we'll swap over in a minute.
Yeah, no, it should be all right.
You've been on the gin then or something?
No. Well, I don't drink, do I? No. You know that.
Why not?
Why don't I drink?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a long story.
But I don't
need it.
Okay, you've got a lot on at the moment, haven't you?
I have got quite a bit on, yeah.
You don't need another household bill to worry about.
Yeah. That's got nothing to do with the cost of alcohol.
Anyway, we've got some brilliant guests today, haven't we?
We have, yeah. Why don't you introduce them?
Delighted to. We've got Paul Kane, from Kane and Beer. We've got Peter Andrews from Kent Financial Management Services. And we've got Kevin Bates from Medic Healthcare.
Fantastic.
And we'd like to introduce them early because it'd be nice if we could have a bit of sort of banter in the room.
Banter? That would be novel.
Well, all this variety of topics that we're going to be covering. So
You did run through a list of things that you wanted to incorporate. Everything from prostate testing to chemical assassinations.
We agreed we were going to leave that first one out, didn't we?
We did, actually,
who won't particularly enjoy that. Mm. It's a strange old world we're living in at the moment, isn't it? I mean, apparently we've got Russian assassins running around. Knocking people off in our country, which is very nice of them.
Yeah.
We've got Brexit, which I was just trying to work out. Was it 2 years ago in May that we voted to come out of the EU?
Yes.
It was, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Well,
June.
And yesterday, or was it this week at some point? It must have been yesterday. They decided that we now need an additional transitional period. So we're not actually coming out until March next year anyway.
True.
But what they've decided is we need another year and a half on top of that before we actually come out for good.
The only good thing, I haven't read the entire deal yet, but the only good thing I saw in that is that apparently we can negotiate our own free trade deals during the transition period, which for me is one of the major benefits. So they need to get on with that now.
Yeah, but surely, you know, if we just kind of said that's what we're going to do anyway, what would kind of stop us doing that?
Yeah, it's no good asking me. If I'd have been in charge of the negotiations, I'd have been out of there a long time ago, mate. I would have been, spin, mate, I'm off.
I just find the whole thing quite remarkable.
Yeah, they love talking to each other, don't they?
And the EU are never going to buckle when it comes to free movement. Mm. Free movement of people,
they've extended the allowable stay of people coming here, haven't they? So anybody coming from the European Union into the UK in the next 2 years will still be able to stay after Brexit.
Yeah. Yeah.
No problem.
It's a bizarre one, that. Mm. And what was the other thing? Oh, yes, I wanted to talk about Cambridge Analytica. That's all in the news, isn't it? Because do you remember a while back, I was talking to you about a programme I'd seen called Silicon Valley. Yeah. And they were talking about how a company called Cambridge Analytica had actually, on behalf of the Trump administration, paid Facebook, I think it was about $90 million, for Facebook to have its own people sitting in their office mining Facebook data for them to build a voter segmentation. I think they came up with about 18 voter segments for them to target directly with advertising to get them to vote for Trump. So, it's kind of stuff that you people have been doing in the marketing world for donkeys. I mean, I used to do it at Unilever with club card data. It's no different.
But this is the problem with this whole story, is the vast majority of people haven't got a clue what they're talking about. And everybody's running around going, oh, it's evil. Without knowing the first thing that they're talking about, there's two sides to this. Most of what I can see that they've done is, as you said, Martin, what most marketing companies do. But there's a lot of people that think that what you can do with digital data borders on Harry Potter magic, and it doesn't. A lot of it's nonsense. A lot of it is just hype and nonsense. But people want to believe it because it's a good excuse for why things happen. Oh, you know, it was manipulated by, because first of all it was the Russians, and now it's Cambridge Analytica, and next week you'll be something else, won't it?
You've got to see the irony of it, haven't you? Because Zuckerberg was a real anti-Trump, and yet the company that he is president of, that he started and founded, was quite happy to be paid all that money to give them access to Facebook data.
Well, that will tell you something.
Sorry?
That'll tell you something.
Well, exactly.
It don't work. what he tells you, he's quite happy to give him the data because it doesn't matter then.
Yeah, but it did work, didn't it? That's whole point, because he got elected, Paul.
Yeah, no, you're making an assumption that he got elected purely because of that, and I wouldn't make that assumption either way. Obama did the same thing, of course, and he got elected too, but, you know, that's how companies like Cambridge Analytica make their money, by saying, oh, we did this and that happened. What they don't tell you is the ones they did it for, that it didn't happen. Yeah, they kind of ignore those. Sure.
But I suspect I suspect the legal issue that's arisen here is that by mistake, because normally the data would be anonymised. Mm. So whenever we handled club card data, it was always anonymised. Mm. In fact, we did it through Tesco's own data agency called Dunnhumby up in Ealing. Mm. And I suspect in this instance, what they've forgotten to do is anonymise the data. So they've actually fed them actual names of actual Facebook account holders, as opposed to anonymised profile data that kind of puts them into segments.
I wouldn't know.
I think that's the sticking point.
And I have no idea.
Is it the COI, the Central Office of Information, the people that are going to be looking after GDPR moving forwards, have now got involved, and the whole thing's just getting ridiculous, isn't
it? Yeah, but that's a bit. Don't even go there. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's like some idiot yesterday said, oh, let's nationalise Facebook. Good luck with that. you want to nationalise an American company? Okay. good plan.
Anyway, strange times.
Yeah, absolutely. Loads of different things happening. Loads of people with loads of opinions about different things. Unfortunately, most of them don't know what they're talking about, is the way I see most of what I'm looking at here. And I'm not saying that I do know what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that people make assumptions based on opinions, based on things that somebody wrote in a newspaper, and most of that isn't actually very accurate.
No, but at least if you've got an opinion, you've got an opinion.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with having an opinion. It's when you think that your opinion's a fact and it not isn't necessarily.
No.
Mm. Well, there you go. So anyway,
never gonna know, are they?
Hey, listen, we got some great guests for you in the studio. Have you announced it, I guess?
Yeah.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah. You were still. That was at the beginning.
I was still pressing buttons and wondering why you were all echoey.
You were getting over your gin and tonic, weren't you, at that point, I think?
My gin and tonic. The last time I had a gin and tonic would have been about 27 years ago. So I would have hoped I was over it by now. I want to say a huge thank you to the show sponsor for this month, which are the lovely folks at All Health Matters, the occupational health people. Fantastic group. Do check them out, allhealthmatters.co.uk. They do a whole range of different things in the occupational health field. So do check them out. And a massive thank you to them for sponsoring the show this month. We've got loads and loads of emails and information to read. We have just had over 1,936,000,000,000 tweets, which I've finished counting now. And we will read some of them in a minute. But we'd love to hear from you, the two listeners out there. If either of you want to get in contact with us, you can. By all the normal routes, you can call me, actually, on 01233-220035. That's Ashford. 01233-220035. Or you can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb using the hashtag BeBunker. And we will read your tweet out, or we shall endeavour to do that. And why don't we do just that right now, Martin?
Yeah. Had a really great tweet, actually, from a legal company, a firm of solicitors. They just do litigation.
Well, they just heard you on the radio and sent you a warning.
they'd like me to be their client. Yeah. They think I need some help. No, it's Griffin Law, at Griffin Law UK. On the Twitter, and in fact, I saw their principal talk at a Metro Bank networking event.
Oh, that'll
week.
Be Donal. Donal Blaney.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really interesting guy. Mm. Extremely personable, as you would expect as the head of a legal firm. But he was talking about bad debts.
Right, okay.
And how a lot of small business owners are their own worst enemies. Mm. Because they don't actually ask their customers to pay them any money when their money's due.
Yep.
Because they're too frightened.
Credit control.
Yeah, it's and I used to work in a business where the first thing I was kind of tasked with doing was going around and visiting all the customers and just kind of getting a feel for the customer base. Mm. And, you know, we had debtor days, I think that were kind of 60-plus, our debtor days. Mm. And I used to say to people, you know, why haven't you paid us for so long? And it's because you've never asked us to. Mm. So, you know, if people think they can get away with something, i.e. not paying you, they will.
Absolutely.
So that was the kind of the theme of his talk, which was really quite refreshing, actually. Mm. But they do a free bad debt audit as well.
Okay.
So they will actually work with small businesses to help them identify where their debt exposure is and what that looks like and what they can ultimately do about it to manage that number down.
Yeah.
And they'll share the risk with you as part of that process as well. But what they've done is they've tweeted in and they've said, look, you know, we want ideas for video blogs. So if anybody out there is interested in seeing a kind of a series of short video blogs about legal matters, could be commercial litigation, any kind of litigation really, they'd be delighted to hear from you with your ideas about the content that you'd like to see and the help and advice that you'd like. So
sounds good.
Yeah.
What's their Twitter handle?
At Griffin Law UK.
At Griffin Law UK?
Yeah.
Give them a follow. Give them your suggestions. Tell them what you think. Sounds good to me. I've had a tweet from Barry Thompson, Curious George, on the Twitter. He said, would love a shout out for my fellow sponsors of the Tankerton Football Club Deaf Children's Team. Barry's from me now, and he's also highlighted the Cords Horticultural, Interpreting Matters and Happy Paws, who are the four businesses that are sponsoring the Deaf Children's Football Team at FC Tankerton. Barry, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention. Thank you so much for supporting the deaf team there. And all power to you. And good luck to the team. Mm. Nice one.
Denise Wilton tweeted me yesterday.
Did she?
Yeah, she's going to be talking at one of Natalie Benaig's events that she's got coming up on the 20th of April.
Right.
I'm not sure Natalie's out publicising this too much at the moment. But the event is basically a marketing workshop for creative professionals, people working, businesses in the arts and creative industries in Kent. Mm-hmm. And it's an all-day workshop taking place down at the Alexander Centre in Faversham. Mm-hmm. And Denise is going to be there talking about social media and how to maximise the value from social media in your business, in your creative business. And she's also going to be doing an audience profile workshop as well. So I know Natalie had about 60 plus people at the last one, so they're very, very popular. kentcreativearts.co.uk, you'll find all the event details on there. But if you are a business in the arts, in the creative industry at all, get yourself along to that and learn how to market your business.
Absolutely. Nice one. Thank you. I've had a new listener tweet us, My Career Option is their Twitter handle. And they say, hey, give us a visit on Stand 74 at the Apprentice Show this week, changing the way the parents, schools and students think about careers. We have the potential to be something great. We just need some guidance. MyCareerOptions.co.uk is their website. They're on Stand 72 at the Apprentice Show. And the Apprentice Show is running from the 20th, that's today, and tomorrow, at the county showground at Detlin. So do get along and say hello to the folks at My Career Options on Stand 4774.
It's amazing, isn't it, how once we get through sort of January and February, everything comes thick and fast, isn't it, all of a sudden. I was driving here today and there was a really weird sight. There was something blue in the sky.
That would be a flashing light.
No. Oh. Normally it would be. But today it was something else. I looked, I thought, what is that blue thing in the sky? And then, of course, I realised it was sky.
Really?
There was actually some blue sky out there today.
Has your sunroof finally given out? Is that what you're telling us?
But I haven't seen any blue sky for days, and it's...
Look up, mate.
Yeah.
That's
no,
the thing.
Where I live, it's just been grey or white. So everything's sort of all of a sudden coming thick and fast. And event-wise, there's so much going
on. You know, it's the first
on.
Day of spring today, don't
well,
you?
Officially.
Yeah. Mm.
And we must talk about Grow Kent, which is happening at Canterbury.
It is, on the 29th.
Next Thursday.
Yeah.
Which is going to be a wonderful day.
Mm.
So it's a free-to-attend business event. Mm. There's
loads
workshops.
Workshops.
Networking. There's an exhibition. One of our good
We're doing this in stereo, aren't we?
One of our good friends, Linda Garcia, is going to be exhibiting there.
Yeah, there's a breakfast meeting and a keynote speaker is David Shaw.
Yeah, and all topped off with an awards evening as well, gala dinner.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's 19 hours of solid work.
I know.
Yeah.
And last year, as you rightly said, you had to attempt to give me a jump start.
Well, I need to set this up. I chaired the business breakfast at this event last year. I'm doing the same again this year. I chaired the business event, which started at 6:45 in the morning. Then I chaired the entire day conference, and then I compared the awards in the evening. So I was there from like 6:30 until midnight. And about 5:00, I thought, do you know what? I've got an hour and a half before the awards dinner. I'm going to get in my car and have a little kip on the back seat.
Who does
and
that?
I just dropped off when it's his banging on the window, and it's him, Marvellous Martin White, going, hello, mate, you haven't got any jump leads, have you? My battery's flat.
I had the jump leads. What was embarrassing, I thought, from your side of things, was the fact you didn't know how to connect them to your car.
I'd never opened a bonnet on my car. I don't need to open a bonnet on my car. My car's fine.
And in
it
fact...
does. My car battery never goes flat. I didn't even know I had an engine.
It was your good lady
It was.
That came to your rescue.
No, to your rescue.
With her lovely old Renault Clio.
Yeah, I didn't even know where my battery was. Yeah.
Anyway, we digress.
Mm.
So, it's going to be fantastic. So, it starts early. Free breakfast. I think David Choi was on last week.
David Shaw is the keynote speaker at
breakfast.
Yep.
So, that'll be really good.
Yep.
Just a great event to, you know, meet up with people that you haven't seen for a while, network, learn some new things. Chris Surridge, who was on from Whitefish as well.
Whitefish Marketing.
Guests,
yeah, he's speaking there.
Last month. He's going to be talking as well. He's going to be talking about SEO, isn't he?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So packed full of really useful information. So as well as some great networking.
Last year, I might have got this wrong. Forgive me if I have, Carol Black, who's the organizer of the event. I believe we had over 600 people there last year.
Yeah, coming and going throughout the day. So just drop in when you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plenty of parking. It's at the cricket ground. So
County cricket ground.
No issues with the normal Canterbury parking chaos or money.
And the awards ceremony evening has got a massive turnout.
Mm.
Apparently there's 180 people coming.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be good.
Yeah, well done, guys.
29th of March,
Spitfire
Ground, Canterbury. Be there.
And if you're not tired from all of that exertion, our hosts here today, Kent Space, have got a networking evening that night as well.
They have, with Stuart Weller, haven't they?
Stuart Weller.
The little close-up magician.
Magical Stew.
Yeah.
We'll be showing some
He's
going to
be mingling, apparently.
Mingling.
He's going to mingle.
With his deck of cards.
He's going to mingle.
Pick one.
You need to watch magicians when they mingle. You tend to lose things. Just a little hat tip, that.
Well, what I normally like to see is the trick where he turns my £20 note into a 50. Quite happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite happy with that.
Yeah.
So that's on the Thursday evening here, I think from about 5:30 or 6 o'clock.
Yep.
And there's nibbles. There's always lovely nibbles. And
oh, is she coming?
I'm not even going to go there. So there'll be some lovely food, some great networking, and it'll be fun. So
looking forward to it. Although I can't be there because I'm doing something else. But there are always good networking events here at Kent Space, Wootton Road, Ashford. Be there 5:30.
Yep.
Good. The Networkers Networking event. There's another one coming up following the massive success of the last one at Eastwell Manor. There's a full-day event that's all about networking, helping business owners to be more productive with their time and to make great connections. Set in the stunning location of Port Lim Hotel, it's taking place on Thursday the 17th of May from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. The theme for the event is digital, how to network online as well as offline. Three great speakers, some of the best networking mastermind groups in Kent, and 50-plus business owners to meet. There were 60 people at the last one. It was brilliant. The speakers are Ali Hollands. Ali is an award-winning clinical hypnotherapist and successful businesswoman with a passion for facilitating success in business and life, founder of AM Marketing. Amy is a retail strategy and branding specialist, and Amy will be sharing the power of digital marketing and why it would be part of your strategy. And then Molly Wright is the founder of Molly Moodle Media. Molly has worked in marketing for 7 years now and will be sharing us with the power of online networking via social media and how to enhance your face-to-face networking. So that's Ali Hollands, Amy McManus and Molly Wright are the three speakers. So it's an all-girl lineup. Who's it for? Business owners, serial networkers that love networking and don't want to miss a great opportunity, networkers looking for the next step to take after perfecting their networking skills, or those that are just starting out on the networking scene and would unsure where to go or how to do it effectively, and those people that network already but are frustrated because it's not working.
Shy and retiring types like you, Paul.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Good place to start.
Exactly. So the Networkers Networking event is an all-day event. You're welcome to join us for as long as you want to. If you can't stay all day, it doesn't matter. Just book a ticket without lunch and pop in whenever you want. There's early bird booking if you book before the 18th of April and you pay. It's £18 to attend the event, and that gives you refreshment, but without lunch. It's £27 if you want to attend the event and have a full buffet lunch. And both of those are discounted prices at the moment for early booking. To do all of that, to find out more and to book your place, butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE.
Good. Good. Like to give a shout out for Terry Botfield, good friend of ours.
Botty.
Yeah. So Terry launched a sort of a coffee morning, networking morning, didn't he? Just before Christmas.
He did.
That you and I went to, which was a huge success.
Yep.
He then launched an after hours, after 5 p.m, networking down on the marsh. Mm-hmm. And I think he's in the process, actually, he's just launched as well a breakfast networking down on the marsh as well. But tonight, it is actually the after hours.
You're doing this from memory, haven't you?
I am.
I've got an email with it on.
I can remember it.
Good, go
so
for it.
It's tonight.
I'm checking, though. I'm checking against the email.
It's tonight at 5 o'clock at the Ship in Dimchurch.
It is.
All welcome.
Yep.
Come along for some fabulous after-hours networking with Terry Botfield hosting.
Yep. And then...
He won't be there.
Sorry, Peter?
He won't be there.
Is he not there tonight?
No, he's away this week.
Yeah.
Who's hosting it, then?
I think it might be... David
Dicara.
Okay. Well remembered.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant.
Just to fill in some more, there's Marsh Networking over coffee on April the 4th, After Hours Networking on April the 22nd, and Networking over Breakfast on April the 24th. And there's also a free ZC Digital Academy on the 22nd of March at the Romney Resource Centre. That's a Marsh Network two-hour workshop. Take control of your business. And there's another Take Control of Your Business on the 19th of April at the New Romney Resource Centre as well. Both of those are paid events at £20 a ticket.
The great thing about the Marsh as well, and we noticed that when we've been down there, is you get businesses from East Sussex coming up as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just as close for them as well.
Yeah.
So it's a great opportunity to kind of network outside of Kent as well.
Yeah, we have a soft border with East Sussex.
Yes, very much so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage?
We're going to play a bit of tunage, and then we're going to talk to a guest, because I'm really fed up with this. We need to talk to some. We need to talk to someone interesting. Yeah, that's what I want to do. So we'll play this, and then we'll talk to Paul, I think.
The bell team, where you head long, babe, you can't go wrong. Catch a bright star and a place you know your forehead. Say a few spells and baby, there you go. Take a black cat and sit you down your shoulder. And and in the morning you'll know all you know.
Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed. Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today. Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 20th of March, with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
I want to tell you about a new thing that's been launched. It's an online digital newspaper, business paper. It's called Business Kent. businesskent.co.uk. Keep up to date with all the latest news in Kent as it happens. Add your business event to our calendar of Kent Business Events. We'll promote it absolutely free. Read the very latest business blogs, keeping you up to date with the latest thinking. Circulated to over 20,000 businesses every Friday. Or log in anytime to businesskent.co.uk for all your business news from around Kent in one place. And do contact them if you're interested in promoting your business via their site. And you can do that by calling them on 01732 758 530. That's 01732 758 530. Or email info@bestbusinessevents.co.uk. So check it out, businesskent.co.uk. A brand new news website for businesses locally. Sounds good to me. What do you reckon?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Do you want to read something?
Yes. Venues and Events Expo, South East, Thursday the 31st of May, Kent Events Centre, Detling. The first event of its kind in the South East. A one-day exhibition for event professionals, PAs, VAs, so that's personal assistants, virtual assistants, I guess, and business owners who want to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers for events. So if you are an event organiser in any way, shape or form, or perhaps you have a venue that you would like to promote for events, whether they be business or other, please take a look at Venues Events venuesexpo.co.uk. That's venuesexpo.co.uk, and all the information is on there. But it's happening at the Kent Event Centre on Thursday the 31st of May.
So it's going to be a huge event. There's loads and loads of big hotel groups and event spaces that have already booked that are coming along.
We've got so many fabulous venues in Kent.
Absolutely.
I was... the irony struck me recently when Visit Kent had their awards ceremony with all these wonderful venues that were sort of present and, facilities and what have you. And they did it in London.
Yeah.
And you think, crikey, couldn't you find anywhere in Kent to hold Visit Kent sort of awards ceremony? Obviously not.
Yeah. Irony. Absolutely. Cool. Do you know what? I think we'll talk to somebody sensible for a change. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show. I think you've been on before, Paul, haven't you?
Yeah. I have, yeah.
Yep. It's a pleasure to welcome back, in that case, Mr. Paul Kane of Kane & Beer. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Welcome back, Paul.
Thank you very much.
It was quite a while ago that you were on last.
November 16.
November?
16.
He's been counting the days.
He has, yeah. He's had nothing to do since. That's what it is.
He's been dreading it.
Yeah, it was in the diary. Yeah. For those of you that don't remember November 2016 and your appearance, That will be me. Why don't you kick off, Paul, by telling people a bit about you, yourself, and Kane & Beer and what you do, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. I have it on good authority. There's actually going to be three listeners today, anyway. My wife, I think, is listening in.
Oh, I counted it already.
Oh, do you? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm Paul Kane from Kane & Beer. We specialise in bookkeeping services throughout the South East. We have a number of clients up in London and also down as far as Maidstone. We haven't got any in Ashford yet, so hopefully, fingers crossed, we can start doing that and looking after some people down this neck of the woods.
Absolutely. So you provide bookkeeping services.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I talk about quite a lot. Because we are generating lots of new businesses, we're 5.8 million businesses in the UK now, and the start-up rate of new businesses is an all-time record high. As a business person myself and as an investor, one of the things I get really umpy about is businesses going into business without thinking about their numbers and without thinking about their finances and without thinking about all those things. And I've been there myself. When I started a business, I hated all that kind of stuff. I didn't go into business to be a bookkeeper. I didn't go into business to be an accountant or a finance manager or a VAT returner. But you have, that has to be done. And if you don't keep on top of it, it's what kills most new businesses. So things like bookkeeping services are incredibly important. From your point of view, Paul, give us an overview of the kind of services you offer. And then what I'd like to ask you is at what point a business really should start to look at using someone like yourself and avoiding the shoebox kind of approach?
Yeah. I think the honest answer to that is straight away, really. Yeah. Don't get into any bad habits. Put all your receipts in a box, give it to the accountant, because you're going to end up with a massive bill. Do it properly from the start.
Yeah.
Get somebody in professional, like Kane & Beer, obviously, who will look after you from the instant.
But we've got a lot of things coming along now that HMRC are trying to digitalise everything. So the old shoebox approach isn't going to be a viable option anyway fairly soon. But just go through some of the services that Kane & Beer offer. I'm thinking primarily, is there an easy way of starting this and then growing into it? Or, do you go for the full Monty straight up?
Well, we tend to sort of grow with the business, so we'll start with whatever they need. And initially, it could be just expenses, because a lot of businesses have start-up expenses, so they'll need help with that. Claiming VAT, getting VAT registered.
Payroll, I'd imagine, is quite a headache, isn't it?
Yeah, we get involved
in
payroll.
Insurance and all the rest of it.
Yeah. Correct. Mm. But I think the most important thing that we do is probably on a monthly basis is a review of the figures, which we almost insist that we do that monthly rather than quarterly. Because some businesses, or a lot of businesses out there, don't even know how they've done until the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we try and keep on top of that and make sure that they get a regular one-to-one review.
Or 9 months after the end of the year.
Absolutely.
Which is even worse, isn't
yeah.
it?
You know? I mean, yeah. in my own businesses, I have monthly management accounts. So I see the P&L and the balance sheet every month, you know, and unless you do that, you can't keep on top of anything that you're doing.
How does it work, Paul? Because
I was going to say that.
Well, I'm just trying to sort of figure it out from a practical point of view, because everything, I mean, I'm assuming everything that you do is digitized now. You don't do any manual record keeping. You don't work on spreadsheets in Excel. You do everything through a digital or a cloud-based accounting package now, I would assume, on behalf of your clients.
In the main, everyone is cloud-based, yeah.
So but do I, as a client, is it my responsibility when I receive an invoice to load it onto the system and then you take over? How does it physically work?
There's various ways, isn't there? You know, we've got things like auto-entry now, receipt bank, where you can just scan an invoice into it and it will load it into your software program. Or you employ somebody like us who will do that all for you and take away the burden of having to do it yourself.
So if I've commissioned some a product or a service and I've received an invoice for it, you know, inevitably it will come to me in the first instance rather than going to my accountant. Do I just then forward that on to you?
You can forward the email on. Yeah,
right, okay.
Absolutely.
And just say, look, I'll take care of that for me.
That's it.
Right, okay. Good. Yeah. So I don't have to get involved at all.
Do you get involved in paying invoices and stuff like that, or is that not something that you would normally do?
No, some clients give us that authority, so we can log on and pay their bills on their behalf,
which would inevitably mean you kind of managing their online bank accounts.
Pretty much.
Cool. Now, a lot of startup businesses, this doesn't count. I can't remember, was it 84,000 of the VAT threshold now?
Yes.
But of course, as businesses grow, eventually most of us have to succumb to VAT. I guess that's something that you can handle for people.
Absolutely. Hmm. A lot of people as well fall into the trap where they think it's their trading year if they go over the threshold. It's not. It's actually their last 12 months. So within that 12 months, if they've gone over the threshold, they have to
So it's a rolling
register.
12 months.
Yeah.
That's good. And is it right that they have to go back and then rebuild VAT that they should have billed within that 12 months? Is that how it works?
If they've missed it, then really they should, yeah. But it's a tough order then asking all their clients who've already paid their bill, you've now got to pay some VAT. They will get it back, of course, in 3 months' time when they file their VAT return, but it's a little bit embarrassing to go back to them.
Exactly, yeah.
On a monthly basis, then, I'm assuming that you'll prepare a report for a client that actually tells them, you know, for example, what the expenditure was in the business, what the income was in the business, what their cash flow, therefore, actually looks like in the business. And you can kind of flag up any problems in real time for them to kind of address. And that could be, you know, how they manage their debtors, for example, not getting paid on time, all that kind of stuff. I think that's one of the biggest problems that a lot of businesses face, isn't it? They just run out of cash.
Yeah.
Not because, you know, their business doesn't have any customers and they don't generate any income, but it's the difference between when they get paid for the work that they've done and when they actually spend the money to do the work that they need to do.
Well, we were just talking, you raised the point quite rightly about credit control and, you know, Griffin Law talking about auditing, things like that. This whole thing is that issue entirely. The vast majority of businesses that fail don't fail because they haven't got any customers. Mm-hmm. They fail because they haven't managed their cash.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the worst one I've ever seen was Lehman Brothers, the investment bank that went bust. Technically, they went bust, but they actually had assets of $363 billion, and they owed $636 billion, and they owed $500 billion. So they were $100 billion in credit, but they got to the point where they didn't have the money, and bang, they went.
They couldn't pay their staff.
Yeah, and that's insane, and that's just bad management. Mm-hmm. There's just bad financial management.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a massive believer in monthly management accounts. And, you know, it's not rocket science. You don't have to get really in-depth to it. You just need to know where your money is, basically.
Yeah. And you need to be able to forecast, crucially,
yeah.
you know, at least 3 months ahead, I would suggest, what your cash flow forecast is going to look like.
Yeah.
Because if you know you're going to have a problem in 3 months' time because a big client isn't going to pay you until the month after, but you've still got to pay the staff and you've still got to pay for the, you know, the products that you need to ultimately then add value to,
yeah.
then you can talk to the bank and say, I need a temporary overdraft. But if you go to the bank cap in hand on the day it happens, they're going to say no.
Well, I used to be a part owner of a business where we had to organize a monthly overdraft to cover our payroll, and our payroll was £1 million a month. And that was a laugh. Well, we went to the bank and said, can I have overdraft facilities, please, for £1 million a month? And they went, don't be ridiculous. And I went, no, honestly, I do. That's really what I want. And they said, well, that's stupid. As it was a business supplying consultants into the city. So our clients were people like Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs and people like that that owed us the money. And they owed us the money by the time we'd incurred the cost because the payroll was paying consultants that were working there. So we did actually get it. But, you know, it's really easy to get on the wrong side of things like that.
Yeah.
Well, and that will
kill
you.
The more last-minute stuff is, obviously, the more problematic it becomes. Mm. That's all very well, Paul, but how accessible is this service from a cost point of view? You know, what is it going to cost a business that employs maybe 5 people or less? So it's got a small payroll it needs to look after. It's got a quarterly VAT return. It's maybe turning over, what would that be turning over? Less than £1 million a year. You know, what is it going to cost me to actually access those services with yourself?
From us, we start at £149 a month.
Right. Okay,
so
you know, times 12,
peanuts.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not even the cost of a person to do it, is it? Really?
Yeah. So you think about, you know, from a business owner point of view, the time that that's going to save them,
and money as well, Martin, because it could. I'm not going to say it will, but it could save money in accountancy's bills as well. Because if they're not having to spend so much time doing it, it's all done for them. In theory, the bill should be less.
You're almost giving the accountant the finished set of accounts for compliance purposes, and all they're doing is worrying about where the tax liability is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean.
So is that a fixed? That's a fixed price.
We try and do all our fees are fixed fees rather than an hourly rate.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. It kind of makes sense though, doesn't it? Because as I just said, you know, once you get to a certain size, you're going to have to hire someone to do this, and at that kind of rate, it's a no-brainer, isn't it, really? Because, you know, someone to do it's going to cost you a lot more than that. But for me, the benefits are many-fold, because not only are you getting someone to do the work that needs doing, so you're saving time and money like that, but you're getting it done properly and you're getting delivered management accounts. And for me, that is just so important that you can manage your business and know where you are at any given time.
Yeah, the insight that you get into your business is invaluable, isn't it?
And absolutely,
fantastic. Do you do any, I mean, for a lot of small business owners, that will be a completely alien concept because, you know, they are literally hand a bag of stuff over to the accountant at the end of the year and let them worry about it. Do you do any sort of training up front with business owners when they first come to you to just kind of, you know, open their eyes in terms of why you're doing it, you know, why you do certain things and the value of that information? Is there a process that you have to go through with clients?
Absolutely,
on that level?
And we speak in simple terms as well. Mm-hmm. We don't want to try and baffle them with accounting terminology, so we try and keep things as simple as we possibly can as well. So,
So you'll show them the reports that you're going to provide
and run through them.
Value within them.
Absolutely, that's what we do, a one-to-one review of it.
Yeah, so important.
Explain the figures.
It is really important because, you know, I went all through, you know, in the early days of my business, people would show me bits of paper and I'd go, oh, yeah, I've got a clue what it was. fine. You know, but it needs a bit of effort if you're not that way inclined to understand specifically a balance sheet and a profit and loss. But once you get the format of that, it's actually a very powerful thing. Yeah, I mean, I'm famous for checking people out, and I'm forever pulling people's stuff off a company's house and what have you. And people go, well, you're going to look at the P&L on the balance sheet, basically. I'll tell you anything you want to know about a company by looking at that. And I go, really? Yeah.
Except the new laws with the limits start to lower your fun.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not a lot of information there
now, is there? No, exactly.
If you're a small business.
Yeah, exactly. But then that's information in itself.
Yeah.
You're going, well, they must be tiny because, you know, there's nothing there.
Because they've only supplied abbreviated accounts.
Yeah, so, I mean, the kind of thing I'm looking at are people coming on going, I run a multi-million pound business, and you go, really? Mm. You haven't filed anything. Okay, cool.
So, again, I mean, it's just good basic financial practice for any business is what we're talking about here. And the fact that, you know, that is lacking, you know, very often.
But we try and make them fun as well. You know, we produce graphs and things. So like, because a lot of, even now, there's businesses that just still will look at the figures. Yeah. Whereas you show them a graph, they can actually, they've got something they can understand.
Absolutely.
Well, different people, you know, need...
Different strokes.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I want to talk about something slightly different now, which is the world-famous Cane and Beer Curry Nights.
Absolutely, yeah.
Funnily enough, when I was announcing on social media that you were coming on, I got loads of people going, is he bringing beer and curry with him? And sadly, no. Tell us a bit about the Cane and Beer Curry Nights, because they are pretty well known now, Paul.
They're getting that way, yeah. I think I'm getting more known for that than what I actually do. But, but there you go. We kicked off our first one in November 13 in Ashford, actually.
Everything happens in November for him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All the big things.
Yeah. Our honeymoon was November as well.
I told you, I knew it. Yeah.
We got married in July. We kicked off in, like I say, in Ashford, and since we've been to Canterbury, we've been to Maidstone. But the majority of them now we hold up in Bromley.
Right.
And Hayes, Costury, the Raj Moni, those sort of places.
Hmm. So tell us about the format. What's it all about? How's it work?
Basically, you come along, it's £25. That entitles you to a starter, a main course, rice and breads, and a drink of your choice.
Okay. And it's always curry?
It's always curry.
You like a bit of curry?
Every now and again.
What's your favourite? Are you a hot curry man?
Yeah,
or?
It used to be vindaloo, but I'm struggling with that now, so I've tamed it down to a madras.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
I don't know how anybody
with extra chilies
could eat a vindaloo anyway. What was that one that you used to sort of challenge yourself
fowl.
To eat?
A Bengal fowl.
How do you spell that?
P-H-A-L.
P-H-A-L.
Yeah. Not that I know much about curry.
Not F-O-U-L.
Yeah, so do. I did eat one of those once as a challenge.
Oh, wow.
Never again. Yeah.
Well, on the toilets in Tenterden, where you have your kebab, or were you in a restaurant?
No, it was actually in a restaurant. The Cane and Beer Curry Nights take place on what kind of basis? Are they monthly, bi-monthly?
They are. We try and do them monthly, yeah. We've got one. We didn't do it in February because of the horrible snow, but we've got one coming up Thursday, actually, 22nd.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, presumably it's a fairly small-scale networking event because you're in a curry house, so you're not going to get hundreds of people there. So, but what kind of turnout do you normally get?
We've had as high as 34.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, we've had as high as 34, and we've had as low as 7.
Right.
But in the main sort of 15, 20 people.
Cool.
15 to 25.
Okay, cool.
Now, isn't there a rumour as well that yourself and Mr Andrews are talking about bringing the Cane and Beer Curry and Beer Curry Night to Ashford at some point in the near future?
We're going to give it a go.
You're going to need to quantify which Mr Andrews you're talking about as well.
Obviously not you.
Exactly.
You're here already.
Yeah.
But Peter Andrews, who'll be on shortly. But isn't that the plan?
It was rumoured.
Yeah.
We're trying. We'll put our heads together so what we can come up with.
Well, do let us know. And if anybody out there has got a suitable curry house that they know of in Ashford, that would... That would be right as a venue for a networking evening. Then do let us know.
Here's the thing. Let's go for June.
Right. Okay.
And let's ask the listeners to tweet.
Yeah. Let's
if
do
they want to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where they would suggest.
Yeah. Okay. Cane and Beer Curry Night in June in the Ashford area. Yeah. If you want to come, tweet us where you want to come to.
Yeah, let's take some advanced bookings for that. I'll be up for it.
Let's get a bit of proactive going on.
Yeah. Exactly. Good. Yeah, I like it.
All
good
right.
idea.
Lovely.
Let's do it. Paul, if people want to find out more about Cane and Beer, not your curry night necessarily, but your bookkeeping services, how do they do that? What's the best way to get hold of you?
There's a number of ways. You can email me, paul@caneandbeer.co.uk. You can visit our website, which is all the W's, caneandbeer.com. You can see us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're all over the place.
Fantastic. Good. Paul, thank you so much for that. It's lovely to see you again.
And you.
To hear about the work that you do with Cane and Beer and your bookkeeping services and the curry nights. So we'll run that kind of feedback for you on the social media on the curry nights. But for the moment, Paul Kane, Cane and Beer, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cool. Martin, we've got a few minutes before we join the newsroom over at Channel Radio News.
You'd better read an email then.
You want me to?
Or a tweet.
Are you not going to read one?
I'm in the middle of a tweet.
Are you?
Yeah.
See, you can't rely on him.
Can't get the staff these days.
Jobsinkent.com. The hub is here. Launched just for you. We're offering the best careers advice, video, CV analysis, talent matching, and a chance to win some cool prizes. Check it out. Jobsinkent.com/hub. It's a place where you can go and find out all kinds of things about careers, about CVs, about what's going on, what's available, what's happening in the job market. And it's totally free to use. Jobsinkent.com/hub.
Brilliant.
Have a check. You can also upload your CV and it will do a CV analysis to tell you what job you should do.
You may not like the results.
No, you will. I think you will.
Yeah?
I think you will. Yeah, it tells you what sectors, other than what's on your CV, it tells you what sectors your skills are suitable for and what vacancies exist in those areas. Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Jobsinkent.com/hub. Have a look.
If you're not already sick to death with GDPR, and I suspect there's an awful lot of businesses out there that haven't actually quite got to grips with their GDPR policy.
Shall I do a quick GDPR workshop? Now.
Well, go on then.
Don't send spam. Next. Carry on.
Don't send spam. Well, obviously, that's a small part of the GDPR regulation.
That'll do it for me. Stop spamming me.
Yeah, but if you'd like the full picture of what compliance actually means for your business, Let's Do Business Group, who are probably the Southeast's largest.
That'll be Graham and the team.
Business support provider. They've been on the show with us before. They're based in East Sussex, but increasingly in Essex and Kent as well.
Yeah,
They're running a workshop, and it's this. It's this week. It's on the 21st of March, which is Wednesday, isn't it?
That'll be mañana.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
9 a.m. till 12:30. It's at the Mercure Hotel in Tunbridge Wells. So nice and easy to get to. And they are going to be helping you create your roadmap to compliance. They've also got some brilliant guest speakers along. So they've got some IT experts. They've got some insurance people there as well, because obviously some of this potentially is insurable in terms of your risk and exposure there. They've also got a legal firm there as well. So it's an all-round roadmap, hopefully, that you'll leave to help make sure that your business, that you'll leave with, to help make sure that your business is compliant come the 25th of May. And I've got to say, I've just spent 2 days going through my own GDPR compliance. And it's one of those things that once you get started, you can actually sort of, you can knock it on the head fairly quickly, but it's getting started that's the key thing, and this might be the kind of the push that you need. You can find all the details on the Supply My Business website and community. There is also an Eventbrite booking link, but it's far too long to read out, so have a look in there in the first instance and book yourselves on. That's tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yep.
And it's free.
Can I just say something on GDPR?
Mm.
I think a lot of businesses out there actually think it's just IT-based.
Mm.
And it's not.
No, you're right.
It's a lot of knowing your own systems and what you do with the information.
Yeah.
As Martin just said, you just have to write it all down.
And a lot of people also, you're quite right, Peter, and a lot of people also think, it doesn't apply to me, because I'm not a big company that does much of this. It applies to everyone.
Yeah.
And it's quite stringent.
Yeah. If you've got one name and a name or address or email address in your system somewhere,
it's you. It applies to you. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think for a lot of businesses, and this is this has been quite illuminating for me personally. We use a lot of outsourced resource, and we use a lot of big American companies, service providers, people like Stripe, for example, Payment Gateway, people like MailChimp, who a lot of people use. They have a sort of a monthly contract with. And unless you actually ask those guys for their compliance agreement that they have with you, they won't provide it to you.
No.
You know, the onus is on you to ask them to provide you with what you need to be compliant.
Yeah, and that a lot of that is because they're American corporations and it doesn't apply to them in America. It only applies to them if they're working here, so they don't care from that point of view.
But the thing that's amazed me is they're all aware of it and they've all done what they need to do. But unless you ask them for it,
they won't give it.
They won't. They're not proactively sending it out to people saying, "This is our data processing agreement that we need to have with you in place for GDPR compliance."
Yeah. You need to know where your server is as well, don't you?
Exactly.
Whether it's in Europe or
And backup, and you know, so it's not a bad thing to do in terms of helping you understand how your business operates day to day.
Absolutely. Cool. The Business Diaries. We're proud to have five amazing storytellers booked in for this Thursday's events, Thursday evening at the Innovation Centre at Medway, one of which is the host of the Conversation Radio show on Channel Radio 2, the one and only gorgeous Sarah Ann Lucas, otherwise known to all of us as Bird. If you'd like to meet her and hear her story, and I'm telling you, you do need to hear her story because it's a cracker, Bird and four other speakers will be at the Business Diaries this Thursday evening, and I must book my ticket because I haven't booked it yet and I'm going. Yeah. Cool.
A good friend of Business Bunker, Ben Leach, is now running the Kent IT Academy. Mm. And the next one is on Friday of this week. And it's being held at 73 College Road in Maidstone. And this week they're going to be covering getting to grips, or I nearly read that out as gripes, with Windows 10, because a lot of people do have a lot of gripes with Windows 10.
Absolutely.
And Ben is your man to help you sort all of that out. The advantages of using Office 365, it's probably something you're quite familiar with, Paul. And using OneDrive with Office 365. Cool. And then they've got a second session, which is an introductory session to OneNote, Publisher, and OneDrive as well. So it's 2 hours. It's free car parking, refreshments provided. If you want to upskill in terms of your IT expertise, that is the place to go. And again, all of that information is in Community and Supply My Business.
Cool. We've had a tweet from Beaujolais Boy in reference to you having a go at me about gin and tonics.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's gone, Martin, if he drank, he'd be lashed up all the time, the amount of ward dinners he goes to. That's true. That is true. It's one of the reasons I don't drink. Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to give up food as well.
You'd be vying with with Aunt McFarlane for Sunil's time, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Yeah. Edenbridge Motor Show have tweeted, can you tell listeners about our next motor show on the 9th of September? We have space for motor-related businesses to exhibit, and the lively Laura Burton Lawrence will be compere for the event. More info at edenbridgemotorshow.co.uk. UK. That could be a cracker.
Charity Golf Day. This is the first one that I've seen advertised this year. I'd normally have a bit of a golfer's tan at this point in the season, but obviously I haven't got one this year because the golf course has been closed. But this is at North Foreland, which is my local club. It's on the 15th of June, and it's actually being sponsored by Artemis Recruitment, who
came on with us. Yeah, Sam and Carol.
So it's in aid of Oasis Domestic Abuse. It's Friday the 15th of June. There's a shotgun start at 12:30. Teams of four, mixed teams welcome. We are a lady golfer friendly club at North Foreland. It's £56 for non-members. If you happen to be a member, you can play for £30. It includes coffee, bacon roll, 18 holes, and then there's a charity auction and 2-course meal afterwards. If you want to book onto that, it's carol@artemisrecruitment.co.uk. That'll be a lovely afternoon in the sun down in Broadstairs.
Fantastic. Laura Lawrence has confirmed that she will be comparing the Edenbridge Motor Show, and she says, I'm so looking forward to this. Monster truck, more cars and motorbikes than you can shake a stick at, music, food, and lots going on. So, sounds good to me. I've probably got time to read one more tweet if I can find one.
I've got one here from Terry Seller, another friend of the Business Bunker.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about exhibitions and expos coming up. If you are exhibiting at one of the B2B events coming up, whether it be a chamber one, because I think, you know, there's one coming up in June. Is it Ashford? The